This is the Tempered Fables podcast. My name is Norman T. Chella. Welcome. The Tempered Fables is a podcast of fictional stories that are created, narrated, and hosted by me, Norman. I take the role of a narrator named N.T. Clover, and we, well, me and him, sit by a campfire to tell you a story. The stories range in genres from funny to sad to scary and strange. They're also unserialized, so you don't have to listen to them in order, though that may change over time.
In this episode, a dwarf gains the power to learn the makings of any device. The genres include fantasy, magic, and dwarves. Warning, there are going to be some really bad slash funny dwarven accents, I guess. Well, I don't really care. I had fun doing them. Also, there's going to be sages. Look out for them. If you had been listening to my stories, you might recognize somebody. And without further ado, let's get into character and light up the fire.
I am the weapon of my choice. No obstacle may stop me. No enemy may harm me. I am the fortress that protects. I am the wave that attacks. I have the final thought, the last absolute word. I am in control of my actions. I am in control of my mind. All choice is obligation. All choice is mine. Now fire.
That was the last sighting of the legendary Sajeo Dressrosa, with his magical black and gold blunderbuss in hand, his signature visible on its stock, ready to face the monsters ahead. The witness was one of the villagers who ran in terror. They saw a swirling white light emanating from the stout man, the last line defense for the powerless and running. Runes crept up his tan skin as the gates closed to trap both him and the incoming threat. Who was the monster here? A large animal filled with fury, or a dwarf trapping himself in order to kill the beast? From all the rumors and legends you would hear of this man, this time was no surprise. Let's look at his origins. Episode 28, Sajeo, the Sage of Instrument. Welcome to the Tempered Fables. My name is N.T. Clover. Come, sit by the fire. Let me tell you a story. Sajeo was born to the Dressrosa duo, two renowned blacksmiths who had created legends. He was welcomed into a room with a forge the size of a hall and a plethora of powerful weapons. Swords, spears, halberds, arrows, shields, every weapon known to dwarf, human, elf, and many others he knew intricately. Armor as well, from leather to dragon skin, bronze to mithril. These were all on display. Santana would spend the mornings teaching his son how to temper the blades and blunts. After lunch, Mihaila would bestow upon him her experience on metallurgy, shaping alloys into equipment, and the finer ins and outs of armor. It was the best of both worlds for Sajeo. But there came a secret gift that the parents never had. A gift that was sought after by all of dwarven kind. The gift named Solomon's Sense. It was a myth, the story of Solomon the blacksmith who could sense the makings of any instrument of power. The tale would be told to aspiring blacksmiths and creators, child and adult alike. The Solomon sense is the culmination of information on an object, breaking down the blueprints of machines, objects, and even people via sight, smell, sound, touch, and taste. Each of these senses act as extra minds of their own, feeding unique information and data into the person in return. From there, the wielder will be exposed to greater dimensions of understanding. It harnessed in the boy's mind. Sahayo would dream of blueprints by sound and taste. He could touch a weapon, and the temperature returned with data. He could tap the wood of a barrel, and its hollow echo could map out a blueprint for him. Both Santana and Mihaila noticed it at first, the little kid's disgruntled face when a mage silver sword was being submerged into water after heating. He looked as if he had heard someone clawing a chalkboard, a visible discomfort. Sahayo spoke out at his father, which was rare to see.
It could be better. It could have made a better sound.
And he would taste the tip of the completed blade, once cooled with his mouth, and concluded this to be inferior. It's not of the highest standard, unsatisfactory. Mihaila scolded him at first for trying to put a sword down his throat, but Santana saw differently. Santana Dressrosa knew of the Solomon sense. He was on a quest for the gift for a very, very long time. He believed that through mastery of the forge, he will eventually obtain it.
But the boy... the boy was born with it,
he would say to his wife.
I still don't believe you. Those are just stories, myths, I say.
But he has all the signs.
Oh, I know you're not gonna let this go. Fine. Should we test him?
We should. You know we should.
But we've never left him alone in the forge before. He's still a child.
I know. But we have to try.
And so it was that on a fine spring morning, Sahayo woke up to see his parents gone. Rations of food were left on the table, and there was a little note that said,
"Our dear son, we will be away. We won't be back until you create something of your own. Something that can blow us away. Looking forward to your creation. Love, mother and father."
The young boy was left to his own in the house and forge, broken-hearted at the age of 9, out on the top of the hill facing the large capital. If industry had a location, this was the place. Nestled between mountains, hills, and mines, the Dwarven Empire was the center for production. Hundreds of thousands of goods were manufactured every day, all up for trade and usage, from gizmos to gadgets and loads of machines. As a nation bent on military order, the Dressrosas are always in demand for more weapons. Her Majesty always needs more firepower. It was no surprise then that orders came in preparation for the next skirmish. Broadswords, bows and arrows, as well as armor for infantry. An order fit for an entire battalion. And his parents weren't there. What should he do? Sahayo only had his little contraptions as experience. Little scraps put together by curiosity from discarded weapons and armor. Tiny mechanical toy animals and palm-sized machines that add a little convenience. But he had never made an entire weapon by himself, let alone in bulk for an army. Looking at it from the other side, however, this was a chance. He had the whole forge to himself. He could make anything.
Anything?
A smile spread across young Saheo's face. He took out a piece of paper from his back pocket and laid it out on the table. It was a blueprint drawn on a napkin. The item in question had a grip, a barrel, and was small enough to be held in one hand. He slowly closed his eyes and took a small sniff of the air around the paper. He nodded multiple times, as if in agreement. He then took the steel alloy on the work table, the one used as a paperweight, and slightly touched the top with his tongue, tasting it. A few more quick nods and some scribbled notes later, he opened his eyes again.
Let's start with this.
Blessed friends, this is Commander Gagaris. We, the Royal Army of Her Majesty, the Queen, have arrived to collect our weapons. Good duo!
There was no response. Another knock?
Fair blacksmiths of the nation, where are the weapons?
Still, no response.
Senti, Miha, where are you two?
The proud commander turned to see some of the soldiers on standby snickering to themselves. They've never seen him lost his cool before, but his deathly stare shut them up. Soon after, the door creaked open, and a young dwarven boy covered in soot and sweat from the heat poked his head out.
Hello?
Ah, good day, little child. My apologies for the noise. Where are the Dressrosa duo? Where are your parents?
They aren't here. They're gone.
The commander reeled back in shock.
Gone? But what about our orders? Our weapons? How will we fight? How will Her Majesty react to this? Oh, she'll have my head for it.
The door was open now. It looked like a right mess inside.
Ah, right, that order. Yes, your orders are in the back. I've made them for you.
You? Little child, this is not funny. We've sent an order for
1,276 swords, 150 bows with 30 arrows each, and steel armor for the entire battalion. Also, 300 halberds. They're in the back.
Oh, alright.
It was there indeed, primed and in storage boxes. The commander picked one of the swords up, and the immediate touch and tingle of the hilt gave him a sudden surge of power.
I've made improvements to the sword design for easier use. I've also ruined them with greater cutting strength, the halberds with weighted force, the bows with destructive power, and the armor inscribed with range protection. Your soldiers will not be hurt from projectiles.
Gargaris was speechless. This was a lot more than he had expected. Saheo was worried.
I'm sorry. Was this too much? I went beyond what you asked for, and...
No, this is more than enough. It's just that I'm worried about covering the extra material and rune expenses.
Oh, don't worry. It's for free. I didn't use anything extra.
But what about the runes? How many scrolls are you used to...
The young dwarven kid pulled out a device from the holster on his belt. A handheld cannon, the first of its kind in this world. Black and gold, with a floating silver rune glowing above the sights. The Dressrosa signature was written in snow white.
I wrote and devised the runes myself. No need for a scroll.
What's in blistering blazes?
The commander's mouth was still hinged open. Court officials had gone to extreme measures to procure runes for war. Even then, these runes are only for the best of the best. Nobles, captains, and the royal guard. They were a privilege for the elite, and this boy had just ruined an entire battalion on his own.
This boy!
At this moment, murmurs rose from the soldiers outside. They parted. The Dressrosa duo had come back from their journey. They knew that the orders were to be completed by today. It seemed like a good enough test. If anything, they can finish the rest quickly, if Saheo couldn't handle it. But the glow from the handheld weapon made them silent. They walked up to the commander and their son, Mihaila, expressionless, and Santana, eyes wide. Both were looking at the hand cannon. The young boy smiled.
Well, we never taught you how to do that.
How did you do it, kid?
The runes had a taste, and I figured it out from there. The metal had a sound, and I wrote the song through them. Its strength had a smell, and I refined it through trial and error. I don't know how to describe it, except that I could see the entire thing in my head.
I knew it.
Solomon Sents.
Gargarus looked at his old friend like he just said the devil's name.
You're telling me that myth had always been real? I told you, friend. It had always been true.
You got me, dear.
I believe the queen should know about this. She'll find out about it soon enough anyway.
The duo surveyed the readied weapons, all primed for magical war. These soldiers weren't prepared for weapons of this caliber. Besides, this wasn't what they ordered. This was more than that. Looking further inside, the forge was a right mess, and some of their favorite tools were replaced with better ones. Runed hammers and tongs for imbuing magical properties, and the anvil sparking with a bright blue flame. The father looked at the mother. She nodded.
Looks like we have to build a bigger forge for our son, eh?
The man had heard the stories of a stout and powerful dwarf who could create such wonderful things. His magical weapons had become renowned throughout the lands. In hearing the story, he had sought after him. He had asked the villager, terrified out of his mind, where the dwarf had went. Strange to see a human walking amongst the dwarven encampment. The dwarf told him of the recent attack, from the village they ran away south of here. Past the man's eyes was a glowing blue butterfly that headed that same direction. He smiled. He knew it was the way. He thanked the dwarf and went on his way. The man in his gray cloak, with a walking stick made of oak, smiled at the fleeting butterfly. I have found you, the sage of dreams said to himself. I have heard your mantra, your call, and I am here to show your dream. And deep in through the forests and the meadows and towards the burnt gates of the village, he noticed the butterfly glowing brighter than ever and phasing through the gate. One single white butterfly came out and fluttered towards the man, entering his heart. There was warmth. I see now. I see what you believe in. I am the weapon of my choice. No obstacle may stop me. No enemy may harm me. I am the fortress that protects. I am the wave that attacks. I have the final thought, the last absolute word. I am in control of my actions. I am in control of my mind. All choice is obligation. All choice is mine. And now, I will give you that choice. Now fire. And that is the end of the tale. Until next time, friend, I'll be waiting by the fire.
Hey there, thanks for listening to this story. This is a special one, because for the first time ever, I am recording this in a very different environment, in a professional studio, with one other special guest, as you might have noticed from the wide variety of voices in this story. But let's talk about the story itself. So, Saheo, sage of the instrument, what are some of the inspirations? The very first point I have in here is that dwarves. Dwarves everywhere. I don't know about you, but I played the massive multiplayer online role-playing game World of Warcraft a long time ago, back when I was a wee lad. No, not really, but a few years ago. And I did play dwarves. I really like their culture. I really like how free they are, how fun they are. And I wanted to use them as the basis for characters in this story. Hence, instead of making just one character a dwarf, I made every single character a dwarf. Other than one other character that is coming back, and that is Luck, the Sage of Dreams. If you have been following me since the very first episode,
you may have known him as the main character of episode 1, called Luck, the Sage of Dreams. I wanted to bring back the Sage system, as Tempered Fables is developing its lore throughout different times and years and ages. And starting from episode 1, I've always loved the idea of sages. So, in the times where I wasn't really publishing any new episodes, I was actually developing the system for sages. And with this new incoming story, Saheo is going to be one of many sages that will be coming up later on in the podcast show. So having the Sage of Instrument in our portfolio of sages and characters throughout the show is quite exciting for me. There will be more sages coming in after, but Luck, hopefully, will be at the center of all of that. So stay excited. Now onto the contents of the story itself, I really wanted to talk about mantras. We started off the mantra in the beginning and we ended with a mantra at the end. The mantra I wrote for this story is heavily on the topic of choice and creation, as well as what we are truly capable of, controlling ourselves like we are weapons, like we are instruments, you know, like we have the power to control our own destiny, etc., etc. And to have a mantra is to essentially have a habit or a reminder or a routine to remind ourselves of who we are and what are we capable of doing. Hence why I wrote the mantra in the first place. I guess that's how I envision my own mind to be like. Fractured into different characters per se, different sages holding different beliefs, different values, different characteristics. For Saheo, it will be on choice, on creation. For Luck, it will be on dreams, on visions. And for Mira, who was the other character in episode 1, to be on something else, on curiosity. Each holding their own mantras, each true themselves. And I agree with all of them. And that's why I birthed them into existence. And I'm grateful for their wisdom and to be able to learn from them as characters. And I am grateful that you, my dear friend, are listening to this show as well. To, you know, follow their journey with me, the journey of these characters as they develop over time. I'm quite excited about that. Onto the character itself, Saheo. Male, young, dwarf, wanting to make anything and everything, being able to define each instrument, each device, each machine, and has his signature on it. I forgot where I got that piece of inspiration from. I think it was from an anime from a long time ago, or a cartoon, where a famous blacksmith would have a signature, a logo, or a sign, or a symbol embedded into every weapon or every device that they have made. I wanted to emulate that. So in this case, Saheo's sign is a tiny logo of a sun and its beams onto the ground like a source of light, and like a sun, which in Spanish, I believe, is Sol. Because originally, Saheo's name was supposed to be Solomon Dressrosa. That's how I decided to change Solomon into the name of the gift, Solomon Sense, because I like the sound of Solomon being used as the name for the gift as opposed to the main character. So I decided to invent a new name, Saheo, hence Saheo Dressrosa. Dressrosa I actually took from the anime One Piece. So if you are an avid watcher of One Piece, maybe you would have noticed that name. And a final note, for those of you who are interested in the mantra itself, I'll say it right here using my normal voice. I am the weapon of my choice. No obstacle may stop me. No enemy may harm me. I am the fortress that protects. I am the wave that attacks. I have the final thought, the last absolute word. I am in control of my actions. I am in control of my mind. All choice is obligation. All choice is mine. Now fire. How I invented that is, there's quite a few factors that came into play. One is the stoicism mainly popularized by the journals of Marcus Aurelius for Meditations. And another is the prose from J.R.R. Tolkien, whenever he says something that is very poetic, something very powerful, something that is quite verbose, but there is a certain wisdom in there that is shared. Even if the sentence structure is really complex, I wanted to emulate that. I wanted to mix and match and create something of my own. And I wanted it to be something that I myself am able to apply to my current life, even if it's not as fantasy-like as Saheo's. I'm not making guns or hand cannons or anything like that. But for me to remind myself that I have control over my actions, my mind, my reactions, and that I, my own body, my own beliefs, my own true self is, therefore, I am. And I am the weapon of my choice. To remind myself for that, to remind myself of that over and over again. Every day in the morning would get me up and productive. So that's probably one way to apply that, if you're ever interested in applying that mantra in your life. And yeah, that's pretty much it for the story. Now, something new to Tempered Fables, I would like to bring in a special guest for this episode. You might have noticed that there was not one person leading this story. There were two people. I would like to invite Jeff Kasim of Renegade Radio. Jeff, how are you doing?
Hey, how you doing, Norman?
Hey, Jeff, thank you for helping me out with this story.
Yeah, it's all a pleasure, man. I had so much fun with it.
I was about to ask, like, how do you feel about this story overall?
Well, Tempered Fables as a whole, right?
Yeah.
I feel like, the way I saw or read from the script, I feel like all these stories have some sort of a connection between each Tempered Fable. I think you're going to craft like some sort of a, it's like a short story.
Yeah.
Is it? It's like a short story,
It's like a
right?
short story, yeah.
And these short stories take place in all these like other people's lives.
Yes.
And at some point they're just bound by one common thing, right?
Yeah. Yeah,
yeah, that's yeah. what I like about it.
Like a little string that binds them together.
Yeah. I got really immersed when I was doing the lines, and I was also reading through the script. I kind of like get the vibe, like, holy shit.
Yeah.
This is like, whoa.
Yeah. Now, throughout the show, the show itself was essentially an excuse for me to just explore many different genres, so not all of them are fantasy-like, not all of them, but when I do go into fantasy, when I do add a dwarf in there, magic or whatever, or
yeah.
sages, I go full on, and I wanted to bring you in because I know you would totally vibe with that.
Yeah, voicing the dwarves. Okay, I'm just gonna be real with you. I also played World of Warcraft back in my days, and yeah, I do from time to time admire how the dwarves speak, and I always like really get onto it because it sounds so fun. But
yeah.
Then now I have the opportunity to actually like use it for something, you know, productive.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm pretty proud of myself at this point.
Our voices are so good.
It was fun.
Don't you think that it's pretty awesome that we played the game and we can...
Yeah,
after been listening to the game for so many years that we're like, ooh, now we're like, oh, we're going to create something. And
I really liked it.
Being kids listening to that and then imitating it because it's fun.
Yeah.
Now we're using it for something real.
Or like a VO, proper VO.
Exactly.
So it's like, ooh, holy crap. Thank you, man. Really appreciate this opportunity.
Yeah, no worries, no worries. Just one quick question. Is there a kind of voice that you'd like to do in the near future? Like maybe if I bring you back up for another episode, maybe there's like some kind of dream character that you'd like to do, some kind of archetype, or maybe like a villain or...
Okay, well, maybe you can probably...
Yeah, give me a prompt. Maybe I can think of like...
I can probably do a very proud paladin.
Okay.
Yeah, really like an overly confident paladin. That's what I always like.
A really overconfident paladin.
Yeah. You know, like, I mean, you know paladins.
I know paladins.
Sometimes I always see them as like these characters. Like they think that they're so mighty that they just don't shut up. Yeah, I could see. Yeah, if you got any characters like that, I would totally give it a shot. But I'm also open to any other character. I would love to try all these other different ranges here. You know, if you got pirates, I can give it a shot.
Pirates.
Just give me the script beforehand.
Definitely pass it to you beforehand. We'll see. The more I explore these characters, the more that they'll pop up. I'll definitely let you know.
But yeah, just hit me up, man.
All right, Jeff, thanks so much once again.
Yeah, it's all a pleasure, dude.
Yeah. All right. Take care. And to you, my dear friend, thank you for listening to this story. I will see you in the next episode. Always waiting by the fire. Norman out.
This show is hosted, created, and written by me, Norman T. Chella. You can find out more about me at temperedfables.com. You could also check out our social media on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, which I should be using more often. The Tempered Fables is also a part of the That's the Norm group of shows. It's where I house all my other shows as well. You can check that out at thatsthenorm.com. Massive props to Jeff Kasim of Renegade Radio, the premier Malaysian podcasting network based here in Kuala Lumpur. If you are a budding podcaster and you want to get your podcast out there, you can check out Renegade Radio. They can help you with all the things. They can be found at rngdr.com. That's the letters, rngdr.com. The following songs were used under the Creative Commons license from Kevin MacLeod of incompetech.com. The North, Crossing the Chasm, Sneaky Snitch, and Forest and the Trees. Sound effects are obtained from zapsplat.com. Thank you for listening.